What drives the left crazy is the fact that that conservatives, that Republicans in general, are still in good spirits. Now, Exhibit A is Tony Snow, who is the just-departed White House press secretary, longtime newspaper columnist extraordinaire and Fox News contributor and good friend. He joins us on our news line. Tony, happy as always, are you?
Of course I am, Mark. How you doing?
Doing well. You're still playing in the band, aren't you? You got the band. You doing your private moments?
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, I think we've got dates all four weekends this month. We're doing a fundraiser for my daughter's crew team this Saturday. So,
now, you and I were talking off the air yesterday. Now that you've left the high-pressure, day-to-day, every-moment-counts White House gig, your lovely wife, Jill, has given you an extended to-do list, apparently.
Well, you know, what happens is you got somebody who's available to do stuff with the kids. So yesterday I spent several hours in a computer store trying to get a computer fixed.
Oh, man.
Today, my son is his student body president of his elementary school. One of the promises he made last year was to start up a kids' newspaper. He produced issue number one over the summer. They're now working on issue number two, so I'm going in with him for a staff meeting as these kids learn to put together their own four-page paper every month.
Now, that's a great version of the old show and tell. You know, you bring in, I've got someone to bring in. What's your dad do? Well, he was White House press secretary.
You know what? The kids in this neighborhood have seen me long enough. They don't give a rip about that stuff.
They're probably more impressed when you're out playing with the band, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Now, let me ask you this, because it was a very strong performance, if you will. You had your time over a year at the White House, and very excited to many of us who know you. The fact that you're beating cancer, number one, I want to ask you about that, but also taking on something that you really, I mean, it didn't pay as well, certainly.
It
does. Yeah, that's part of the issue, I understand. You do it as a labor of love, and you don't want to be, you know, when you're 75 years old saying, gee, I wonder if I had taken that job when the president wanted me. You don't say no to the president when he said, I want you to be press secretary.
Right.
So you had to do it, right?
Yeah, absolutely, and I loved it. You know, for all the talk about stress in that job, maybe I'm weird. Well, I am. But I loved it. I mean, it was the most fun job I've ever had. So it really was not, for me, a stressful job. It was just pure, sheer fun. And my only regret is that I had to leave because we ran out of money. So that's the deal.
You mean you couldn't just go in there for the good, or they just take one, you know, win one for the Gipper, just do
no,
it all for free?
I wish, you know, if I had independent means, then I would have been able to pull that off. But my wife and I both come from families that didn't have a lot of money, and when I worked at Fox, it was the first time I'd made any, and we ended up having bills that exceeded my income at the White House. So we took out a loan for, you know, and we went through that entire loan and actually took out extra money, sold off some stock in August, so that I could get through the Petraeus Crocker week. That I wanted to do.
And, oh, man, and what a week that was. And I'm still finding it amazing, and I'm sure you are, about how the other side politically is trying to spin that. I mean, there was Bill Clinton.
I mean, if you take a look at the papers today, all the papers are leading with stories about Blackwater.
Yep.
And nobody's pointing out that there was a report yesterday indicating that civilian casualties are way down. It's been a very long time since civilian casualties have been this low, as well as casualties of U.S. In other words, The surge is working, and instead what they do is they got poll stuff saying people want to get out, they don't want to spend money on the war, and they're trying to sort of foment the scandal about Blackwater. I'll tell you, Mark, I drove members of the press crazy when I would talk from the podium about a failure narrative, but these guys are all hooked on the negative news and failure out of Iraq, and they refuse not only to consider the possibility of success, but also the possibility of heroic success. And, you know, that's something that just, it bugs me. It bugs me that the press seems so willingly and deliberately blind, not only to the necessity of the mission, but also the nobility of the people who are involved in it.
Now, when you're on the inside, we're talking to Tony Snow, if you're just tuning in here on San Diego 1700. And, yes, we'll get to the Padres debacle in just a bit and give you the... That was brutal. I didn't want to go there. But we got the sports coming up, so I've got to tease that. Plus, our sister station carries the Padres.
Not kind to Trevor Hoffman.
Oh, man, it was just not his day. But
but it wasn't in the World Series either. I was there.
Yeah, but the holiday, you know, he never touched home plate anyway at the end of it.
No, he did not. He didn't come close.
You heard it from the former White House press secretary. He's on our side on this. So I want to ask you about the president and the other side again goes crazy when they say, well, he just, you know, he'll be too flippant and he'll just do that little wink thing and he won't speak properly. And
you know, I'll tell you what.
How was it on the inside?
On the inside, what you see is a president who is aggressively engaged in these things and is far smarter than his critics when it comes to foreign policy. It's really interesting because the president, I often liken him to one of these guys who plays like five chessboards at once. When he talks about foreign policy, he not only talks about the national interests involved in the sort of contemporary political issues, he'll also talk about long-term cultural trends. He will talk about the personal interactions between leaders. And he understands how all these pieces fit together when you're trying to navigate your way through all of the hazards of foreign policy. You not only have to get sort of the chin-pulling, wonkish policy parts right, but you also have to understand how to deal with the people. You have to understand how to deal with Vladimir Putin.
Right.
You have to understand how to intermediate between Putin and, say, the president of Georgia. And so a lot of those things go on, and it's immensely frustrating for anybody on the inside because the president is very passionate and eloquent, and for whatever reason, when he gets out in public, I think he gets himself too self-conscious. And he does stumble. You know, Children's last week. I mean, I knew the moment that happened.
Is our children learning part two? Yeah.
And on the other hand, what's interesting is that all these people who are criticizing the president, I guarantee you, Democrat or Republican, they're going to do exactly what he's been doing because they're going to look at the same amount of intelligence. And I think they're going to be grateful that George W. Bush went ahead and made tough decisions about intelligence gathering, about the use of force, about diplomatic relations that one had to make in preparing for a long-term war on terror. The other thing that you find with the president is that he's unselfish. He's not sitting around worried about his poll ratings. He really does want to leave the country in a better place, and he knows that this war on terror is something that is going to continue for a very long time, and he's busy going ahead and taking the hits for putting together the toolbox that's going to be necessary for the next president and the president after that if they want to take this on successfully.
Tony Snow with us. Let me ask you, when you went in and took the job, and you go behind the counter and put on the press secretary hat, you have to put certain issues, your take on certain things in a blind trust, if you will. I mean, how often did that happen? Because you said things on your talk show and on Fox News and, that obviously when you're speaking for the president, you can't say, well, this is what the president says. Let me tell you what I think. How much did that come up?
It's really not that hard. I mean, you understand that you're talking for the president and you're living in the reflected glory of the presidency. So, for a policy wonk like me, I certainly know what his policies are. The most important thing, Mark, is that when you're behind closed doors and you're giving the president advice, you're telling him what you think. I mean, that's how you carry out your responsibility as a presidential aide. You don't pull your punches. You go ahead and make your views known. And if you win, you win. If you lose, you lose. There's only one president, and you're there to serve him.
Did you change your views or change his, do you think, at all on the issue of illegal immigration? Because you and I have gone back and forth on that.
I agree with what he was doing. And I frankly think eventually the country's going to end up in the same place. I think what happened is that the president not only got a bum rap, but the policy was mischaracterized. And once the label amnesty got attached to what he was doing, nobody gave a rip anymore about the particulars. If you went and did the polling on each and every element in the president's plan, he found that everybody supported it. The fact is, he had the most aggressive border surveillance plan in American history. I mean, far more aggressive than anybody else. And what happens? Conservatives beat him up for it. And also, frankly, lied about the fence. I'm glad now that we know that they're 170 miles of fence and not three.
Yeah.
That was just, the people were lying about it. I must say, my colleagues on the other side, we're not willing to listen to us, and both sides were shouting past each other.
Yep.
But let's walk through it. Number one, do you want border security using not only the best means available but the best technology? The answer is yes. That's what we had proposed. Number two, do you want to find out some way of reducing the impetus for people to come across the border? Absolutely. Number three, do you want to figure out some sensible way of dealing with 12 million people who are here? Yes. Number four, do you want to restore meaning to citizenship by guaranteeing that anybody who even wants to become an American citizen has to speak the language, has to understand the culture, has to be paying taxes, and does not have access to the welfare system? All of those were parts of what we were talking about. I don't think I've said anything a conservative would disagree with. And finally, do you want to put together something that says that if you've broken the law, you're out of the country, if you have, if you do not maintain continuous employment, you're going to be out, and all that sort of thing? So all of those things, I think, are, that's what the president was proposing, and he didn't get credit for it.
Well, and both sides did distort it for whatever reasons at various points along the trail. I got to ask you real quickly here how you're doing on the health front. I know you're probably sometimes tired of that, talking about it.
People have been extraordinarily kind and caring about this. You know, I've got cancer. Later today, I'm going to be going in for what I do every 3 weeks. I do a quick chemo session. Yeah. But this is not one of these where my hair falls out and I'm, you know, knee crawling my way out. This is kind of no fuss, no muss. And I take pills for chemo 5 days a week. So right now we think we got the sucker in remission, but every 9 weeks or so I go back in for a CAT scan because I'm not going to take any chances with it.
How does that work on the family side? And I know you being a person of faith, as am I. I mean, without that, you'd have a heck of a time dealing with this.
Couldn't do it. Just could not do it. Period. I mean, I don't know how anybody does. As far as the family, you know, Jill and the kids are obviously concerned because they're in a position where you're kind of helpless. You know, you're watching somebody you love, they got cancer, and there's nothing you can do about it. And furthermore, you don't know where things stand. So yeah. I think the uncertainty is probably the most frightening and maddening part. The thing that is heartening is the pace of medical innovation and the fact that, frankly, diagnostically, we've got the ability to see stuff that, you know, 5 or 10 years ago we wouldn't have seen, so that...
Yeah.
I wouldn't even have been diagnosed with cancer until I had something that was really life-threatening as opposed to something that is a series of small tumors that we think we can deal with.
Well, it's good you're making the progress there, and as you know, we've been concerned about that along the way and just
pray
for
you
all the time.
By the way, you and I are old friends, and your notes and your thoughts and prayers, it mean the world.
Well, that's great. And it's always good to talk to you. Tony Snow, God bless you. And I appreciate the fact that now you can have some fun. You can go out there and, you know, let it rip on the speaker's circuit. You can do a couple of speeches and make what you made in a year at the White House. I love that. This is America. Isn't it great?
I think I may have to make 3 speeches.
Okay, maybe 3. But I was pretty close. let me ask you real quickly here. When we have big celebrities on the show, we let them pick bumper music. Yesterday, we had Democrat Bob Filner. We reached out to him, said, you know, tomorrow's show, bumper music. So for today, he picked Joan Baez. I mean, straight out of the peace marches. So as a music guy, you get to pick the genre tomorrow. A couple of your favorite artists, just who would they be?
And we'll play. Well, first you got to do Tom Petty, Won't Back Down.
Cool, that's good. We need that because we have much country lately.
You can easily do. Oh, my goodness. See, the problem is my, I'm a flute player. I'd recommend Jethro Tull, but then what is that?
No, that's good. Jethro Tull.
Okay, well, what
you
need to do is look for some of the more recent Jethro
Bungle
Tull
in the Jungle
albums. I'll be happy to recommend any of them.
Jethro Tull, Tom Petty, not bad.
Yeah.
All right, Tony. God
you know
bless.
What else? Throw what? The Scorpions. A little heavy metal.
See, you are unorthodox. That's the word I'm looking for. Ex-press secretary with the rock and roller side here. So you blaze new trails. You set new standards in that gig. Thanks, Tony. God bless.